fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
Oh, happy Halloween, everybody. Yeah, what a day. Not going to let the Heath Halloween hatred bring me down today. It is Monday, October 31st. I don't have a costume on, but I have one on in spirit. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, Chris Towers. Hey, happy Halloween, guys. How was your weekend?
I actually went to a Halloween party.
Good for you.
I don't know the last time I went to a Halloween party, but I got invited like 2 hours before the party started. So we dressed up and went to the party.
Hey, we got to know. What did you dress up as?
I didn't have a costume.
Right.
So that made it difficult. So we just dressed up as Jim and Pam from The Office.
How did you pull that off? Because that's a very good costume. What's the outfit?
Basically, I just wore a dress shirt with a tie and did not fix my hair. So it's just kind of the goofy Jim look.
Yeah.
And had a pencil in my ear.
Oh, does he? Yeah.
And yeah. And that was basically it.
Oh,
some
great.
Khakis. Yeah. I mean, I'm already Jim, so here at the office, so it was pretty easy.
Chris?
The most Andy Dwyer thing you can do is think that you're Jim.
No, not who?
Not Andy Dwyer. What's his? Andy Dwyer's from Parks and Rec. What's his name?
Oh, you Ed Helms' character?
You lost the moment.
You are definitely Andy.
It's Andy Bernard.
Andy Bernard. Yeah. The most Andy Bernard thing you can do is think that you're Jim.
Yeah. That's such a great show. Well, anyway, guys, I got a pep in my step, so let's talk fantasy football here.
Great.
I bought 2 bags of fun size M&Ms for the trick or treaters today. We probably won't get more than 1 or 2, so I'm gonna have a bunch for the rest of the week. So
yeah, I think we're gonna go out. My daughter's taking my son trick or treating. My other son is going to a party, so it's just my wife and I. I think we're just gonna go out and eat or something so that we don't have to pass out candy.
Okay.
Wow.
You're the Grinch who stole Halloween.
Wow.
I got something for you here. Okay. Looking at the top
Adam's just not going to say hi to me.
I did. I acknowledge you, Chris.
Just not going to
even
acknowledge
about The Office.
Wow.
Can you try to be happy for once?
I mean, no. I wanted to be, but Adam doesn't want me to be happy.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
It's going well. Now, did you know, of the top 18 running backs in standard scoring leagues yesterday, including Thursday, only 2 of them were drafted in the first 2 rounds. And, you know, wide receiver really wasn't much different. You had Dez up there. You had Cooper up there. Jordy Nelson was in there. AJ Green. But man, you look at the leaders in every position this week and probably every week. Fantasy football is crazy and your season does not end after your draft. I don't really know what to say about this, guys. I just thought it was really interesting looking at the leaderboard. Just so many names that came out of nowhere.
Well, part of it was by NATO.
Part of it.
Part of it is the time of year that we've gotten to. It's going to be worse next week. Then I think it'll start getting better after that.
Well, I think we all, early in the season, expected Mike Gillisley to be a top 10 fantasy
exactly.
running back.
Yeah.
Well, it started out, I was going to make this point about running backs, you know, and how they're so unpredictable. But look at the wide receiver leaderboard. And it's,
well, even who were the top quarterbacks?
Yeah, well, Rodgers, Cooper, Rodgers, Carr, Brady, Bortles, Prescott, Matt Ryan, Carson Palmer. That wasn't that out of whack, but the wide receivers are Cooper, J.J. Nelson, Dez, Crowder, Anunua, Hogan, Kendall Wright, Tyreek Hill, Allen Hurns, Jordy Nelson, Andrew Hawkins, Mohamed Sanu, Seth Roberts, A.J. Green, Taylor Gabriel, Jordan Matthews, Terrell Pryor. So it's just, it's fun, you know, it's fun. You know, even if you have a bad draft, this proves that you're not out of it. You got to make some savvy moves and get lucky sometimes. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably the most important thing and the most difficult thing is knowing when things like these happen every single week, which things matter and which things don't.
Yep. That's what we're here for. So email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I was going to start the show with the worryometer, but we're going to do trick or treat instead. I want you to tell me if this player is going to be a treat for you rest of season or a trick. Do I need to explain it further? Do you guys get it?
Nope, I got it.
Good, Chris? I don't understand.
All right. You'll figure it out. Cam Newton. Cam Newton scored 12 fantasy points yesterday. He's got the Rams coming up, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Raiders. Cam Newton, trick or treat, rest of season.
Treat. Yes, treat.
I'll go treat, but I am off of my Cam Newton as the top quarterback in fantasy because I do think we're seeing, I mean, maybe we'll talk about it more when we talk about Jonathan Stewart later, but I think we're seeing a little shift away from Cam maybe putting his head in so much danger near the goal line.
He tried a couple times.
The ball seven times this game, and he ran it a couple times in the red zone, actually, but it's not as prevalent as it was before the injury, it doesn't seem.
Well, last year, 7 of Cam Newton's 10 rushing touchdowns came from 2 yards out or closer.
Right.
Over the last 2 weeks, Jonathan Stewart has scored 4 touchdowns for a combined 6 yards. So, to your point, Heath, yeah, I mean, that's happening. Don't know if that will continue. I thought that Cam played pretty well, had an opportunity for a big day, and just kind of got unlucky. He missed Jonathan Stewart in the end zone. But I do want to bring this up. He's played 7 games this year, I think. Six, he missed the game. First 7 games of last year, he had 218 passing yards per game, 11 touchdowns, 8 picks, 4 rushing touchdowns. So he was up and down. He was okay. The last 9 games of the season for Cam, 257 passing yards per game, so up almost 40. 24 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 6 more rushing touchdowns.
I mean, he's a must-start every single week.
Yeah, do you think you can buy low on Cam? Do you think you should buy low on Cam? I am worried about his health. He's getting clobbered.
I think he's definitely a buy low candidate because he's been a disappointment this season because, you know, people were drafting him late second, third round. Not in the leagues we played in, but I definitely think there's an opportunity. Anytime someone's disappointing, there's a chance to buy low. I don't think there's that much reason to think he'll be worse. And even if he's not as good as he was last season, we're still talking about a guy that's been a top 2 or 3 fantasy quarterback, what, 3 of his 5 years in the NFL?
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, probably in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues.
Okay.
I think in 6, he's been a top 6 quarterback like 5 out of 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, he must start, just probably, possibly a little bit disappointing. I looked it up last night. Jonathan Stewart had 1 game in his 57-game career with Cam Newton where he scored multiple touchdowns on the ground.
Really?
And now he's done it in back-to-back games.
Wow. All right, trick or treat, Jordy Nelson.
I'll say treat, kind of in the same way I just did with Cam, though. I don't know that I expect him to be a top 7 wide receiver the rest of the year, and I think when Cobb and Montgomery are both healthy, it maybe looks a little bit different. But this was a game where we were a little bit worried about Jordy because Atlanta has 1 good corner and we thought he'd get shadowed. And he still put in a good performance.
Did you notice? I don't think he got shadowed. I was paying attention. I don't think it was at all even close to that.
Nope, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I'm somewhere in between. I'm going to punt. He did have a good game, but like if 4 catches is what a good game for Jordy Nelson is now, it's hard for me to see him continuing to put up big numbers like he did this week.
Good to see him get a 58-yard catch.
Yes.
That was nice.
And a touchdown.
Which treat would he be? Because it doesn't sound like he's a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. It sounds like he's,
like a Milky Way.
And later. Or maybe a little better than that.
I would say like a Milky Way.
Okay. That's a good call. That's such a weak treat to give out, I think. DeAndre Hopkins, trick or treat, guys.
Trick, yeah.
The whole buy low
thing was a mirage.
Yeah?
I mean, I would... depending on what the price is.
Would you rather have Hopkins or Jordy?
Probably Hopkins.
I'd rather have Jordy.
This was bad. Now, if Will Fuller misses time, it would be a really good thing for him, but there's not an indication that that's going to happen. He has a leg injury. They have a bye coming up.
I mean, the schedule coming up looks pretty good, though.
This game looked pretty good. It didn't get any better than the game he just had.
Okay.
Like, the Lions are the worst in the league.
Hey, he led them in receiving.
Yeah. Technically true.
Yeah, I don't.
The best kind of true.
I mean, I'm probably still going to start DeAndre Hopkins most of the time, but it's not with any confidence.
Marvin Jones or Hopkins, rest of season?
Ugh. I mean, Jones hasn't been good the last 4 weeks either.
But he's still been better than Hopkins, right? Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, I was looking. I think Marvin Jones hasn't topped like 60 receiving yards in the last 4 games.
Yeah, this was Jones's first, like, really bad, maybe second, really bad game this year. He's usually getting you at least, like, 7 points where you're surviving. But
well,
since that game, since that game against the Packers, he's been.
He's had fewer than 40 yards in 3 of the last 4.
Right.
And he has outscored DeAndre Hopkins
by
over
a fair amount.
Over the last 4 weeks.
All right. So what's, so who are you taking?
Jones.
I'll take Jones because he's got a quarterback.
Oof, man. All right, trick or treat, J.J. Nelson, 4% owned, 8 catches, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns on 12 targets, and had 84 yards against Seattle in Week 7. So J.J. Nelson for the Cardinals has a bye coming up, and then great matchup against San Francisco. Trick or treat for Nelson?
Trick, but I think he'll be worth picking up next week. I don't know if it's a priority to pick him up this week because of the bye, but you know the rest of that receiving core hasn't been good this year.
Yeah, I think he's a treat just because of what there was zero expectations, and I believe you can pick him up for that matchup with San Francisco, and you probably want to start him 2 weeks, possibly in the playoffs as a flex.
That was a pretty Bortles-esque game from Carson Palmer yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Yes.
And not many people started him. Yes. I can get his start percentage, but you're 100% right about that. That was a lot of garbage, a lot of comeback stuff.
Right. And, it was a lot of comeback stuff. I will agree with that part of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's dropping Carson Palmer coming off that game and going into his bye with San Francisco after the bye. So he's a good quarterback for week 10, it looks like. And if he gets healthy, if they get healthier, because Michael Floyd was banged up. He didn't play that many snaps. John Brown didn't play all that many snaps. You know, he took him a while to get cleared. That's why I'm a little concerned about J.J. Nelson. I don't think I'm going to be picking him up.
Well, that's the question. I mean, Bruce Arians, I think, is quite obviously frustrated with Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
And has publicly talked about how he's too worried about his contract and playing him less because of it. Are we certain that after this performance, J.J. Nelson's not just ahead of Michael Floyd?
Nope, we're not.
I mean, that would be my expectation.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be wrong. Michael Floyd, I mean, there's still talent there. They're not on the same page at all.
Hey, coming up. I asked our Twitter followers, best horror movie of all time. I will reveal the answers. Some fun stuff. Trick or treat, Darren Sproles, 71% owned. He had, 63 snaps last night. No other Philly running back had more than 8 snaps. Although
first game of his career where he's played more than 80% of his offensive snaps.
Really? Wow. Yep. Matthews had the touchdown. But trick or treat, Darren Sproles.
Treat? I mean, they don't trust any of the other guys. It's this kind of silly thing where Ryan Matthews fumbled, 2 games in a row, and that means he's incapable of holding onto the ball now. And maybe the coach won't continue to punish him moving forward, but Darren Sproles has been getting the plurality of the snaps, I would guess, since the bye.
You really don't like coaches punishing players for fumbles.
We'll get to that in the next player. I think it's dumb.
Okay.
I think it's counterproductive.
Okay.
Trick or treat.
I'll go treat just because, I mean, he's gonna be a top 20 running back this week. So I don't know how, I mean.
How many teams are on bye this week? I thought there were only 2.
No, there's 6.
There's 6.
Oh, geez.
And it's better teams this week than it was last week.
Ugh.
Yeah, you got the Patriots, you got the Cardinals.
That's gross.
Cincinnati too, right?
Cincinnati, Washington, and who else? and Chicago, and
I mean, that's like
Houston.
12 running backs right there.
Yeah, this is the binado. Last week was, week 8 was child's play. All right, Mark Ingram, trick or treat, 3 carries, 5 yards, and a fumble. Second straight game with a fumble. Tim Hightower had the best running game for a Saint running back this year. 26 for 102.
All right. In his career, Tim Hightower has fumbled once every 65 touches. Mark Ingram has fumbled once every 120 touches.
Yeah.
Tim Hightower is twice as likely to fumble as Mark Ingram in his career. And Mark Ingram fumbles twice in 2 games, which is mostly random, and he gets benched. This is so stupid.
Well, look, they talk to him.
The goal line and they run with Tim Hightower 3 times and get stuffed.
They talked to Mark Ingram about fumbling, and that was a priority. He fumbles 3 carries into the game, and they just had enough.
I mean, like, he's 26 years old. Do they really think, like, oh, we gotta shoot ourselves in the foot in order to... This is the definition of cutting off your nose to spite your face, is giving Tim Hightower 25 carries because Mark Ingram fumbled.
Ingram also hasn't really played that well this year, but trick or treat for Ingram owners.
treat for all the people who are going to buy low on Mark Ingram this week?
Oh, I'm going to say trick because I don't know what the upside really is.
Well, look, he's got the best matchup in football history this week. They have San Francisco, right?
The best?
Yeah.
That's the problem. I wish it was like 2 weeks from now. Do we think that this week automatically they're just done with Hightower and he's getting all the carries again?
I don't know. Well, they said, you know, they made comments. Sean Payton made the comment. Drew Brees made the comment. He'll bounce back.
I mean, so he's basically,
they're not burying him.
Okay.
But I don't know, Heath. I can't answer that question. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But the fact is, and they could get, look what happened last time the Buccaneers played. Peyton Barber and Jacquizz Rodgers both had big games, right? So you could start theoretically both of them. But
I mean, he was about 4 yards per carry in this game, right?
No. Hightower was 106 yards on 25 carries. So, yeah, I guess.
About 4 yards per carry. So he's basically what Ingram's been this year.
26 carries, I think I had him as. But
We can all agree that if that fumble doesn't get picked up by the Seahawks, that he probably stays in the game.
If he just fumbles but doesn't lose it?
Like if someone else, if like an offensive lineman falls on it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Trick or treat, rest of season, Fat Rob. Rob Kelly. Yes, his nickname apparently is Fat Rob. Yes,
it is.
Yeah, and he's got a bye this week. Then Minnesota, then Green Bay. So that kind of stinks. But trick or treat for Rob Kelly, who's 63% owned.
Yeah, it's a trick. You can't play him the next probably 3 weeks. And then he goes on the road for 3 games in a row. And Matt Jones is probably okay by then anyway.
And those matchups aren't great either.
No, things... That was fun for Rob Kelly. I hope you started him this week. It was a good game he had, kind of. He was 4 yards.
He looked okay.
Yeah.
Like he did. He looked decidedly Matt Jones-esque. My concern would be that Jones gets healthy and there's no clear guy. We know Thompson's the third down guy for sure. And then if Jones and Kelly are splitting carries, all of a sudden there's no running backs that I want to use there.
Yeah, but I do think the fact that Matt Jones does have a legit fumble problem.
Yes.
It does help Kelly. I think he'll be better than Jones. I'd rather have Kelly than Jones rest of season. I agree that it might be a trick because of the matchups, but do you guys agree that Kelly would be the best running back to own?
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. We got a lot of news to get to here. Then we'll talk about our winners and losers, some horror movies, some important stats you need to know. But Dak Prescott will start at Cleveland in week 9. Now, he had his best fantasy game last night against the Eagles, thanks, of course, to the overtime touchdown. He also had probably his worst game of the season.
Yeah.
He struggled. And I think they could win the NFC with Tony Romo. If Tony Romo comes back and he's Tony Romo, I really think they could. Now, they had two really bad injuries on defense yesterday with a broken forearm for Barry Church and potentially a serious groin injury for Mo Claiborne. That hurts. But I think the NFC is a little wide open right now. I think they could win. I still think that they could and should go back to Romo. I don't think he's the worst stash in the world, guys.
They can't. There's no way. There's no way you can go to Romo. I agree with you. I think they'd be at worst no worse with Romo and likely a better team, but I don't think there's any way they can go back to him.
Not until like that game was trending towards an opportunity to go to Romo. I made the joke in the third quarter. Does Romo get cleared on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Right.
Because he was playing bad. He looked like a rookie quarterback that wasn't really that good. And then he threw a touchdown pass late. He threw a touchdown pass in overtime.
And that Dez Bryant touchdown wasn't a particularly well-thrown ball.
No.
It was just Dez doing Dez things in the red zone.
I think they should go back to Romo, but it's not happening in week 9. And he's going to have a great game against Cleveland, so it's not happening after that. I mean,
I'd be pretty stunned if they go back to Tony Romo as long as Dak Prescott stays healthy.
Okay. The NFL is still investigating Ezekiel Elliott for domestic violence. Do you think Zeke owners should be... Yeah, we don't really know what to say or what to do here, but what would you say? What would you advise Ezekiel Elliott owners?
I would say that if you have an extra roster spot, it's nice to have Alfred Morris on your bench.
But it would be nice either way.
I think it's imperative to have Alfred Morris on your bench. The NFL looks like an idiot because of the Josh Brown thing. So... I have no idea what happened. I just know they're still investigating. You have to have Alfred Morris if you're I have Alfred Morris in leagues that I don't own Ezekiel Elliott because he could be so good if there's an injury.
Yeah.
Or a suspension. Alex Smith left with a concussion. Nick Foles came in and dominated. And let's talk Chiefs running backs here. Spencer Ware, concussion. He missed the second half. Jamaal Charles going to see Dr. James Andrews to have his knee checked out again. Sharkhandrick West. Chris wrote about this in his early waiver wire look. Sharkhandrick West had over 10 fantasy points per game, right? Yes, last year when he was featured?
11.7. In his nine starts, he averaged 11.7 fantasy points.
Yeah, so he did some good stuff, and he's a Chiefs running back. So I guess it's pretty simple.
He's the worst of the three, but I think he's still pretty good.
Yeah, listen, we were just talking about who the top 10 were at each position or whatever in week 8. If Spencer Ware misses week 9, Sharkhandrick West the top 15 running back. So,
and yeah, they're playing Jacksonville.
You've got to go get him, whether
although Jacksonville
you have Lant Ware or not.
It doesn't even matter, though. He'd get so much work,
yeah.
I feel.
I feel like Andy Reid gives his backups more work than he does his starters when they have to play, which has always been frustrating.
Well, if you need a running back, Jacquizz Rodgers hurt his foot. Don't know that Doug Martin's going to be able to play on Thursday against Atlanta. So Anton Smith and Peyton Barber, I'm sure we're going to talk about them tomorrow. Ty Montgomery was held out of the game with a kidney-related issue. It seemed precautionary. Randall Cobb also sat, so that could have affected, well, it did affect the Packers wide receivers. Pittsburgh expects Ben Roethlisberger to play this week, according to Jason Lockenfora. Adam Schefter had a report that was a little different, that he could miss more time. But Lockenfora confident that Pittsburgh is confident, rather, that Roethlisberger will play this week at Baltimore. Will Fuller has a leg injury. He left in the fourth quarter. He has time to heal. They have a bye. Julio Jones hurt his ankle in the first half. Did not have a catch after halftime. So when you look at the big game from Mohamed Sanu, who's 41% owned, his second big game in his last three games, but mostly bad games this year for Sanu. Do you think this was because of the Julio Jones injury, or do you think we need to pick up Mohamed Sanu? He's got the Buccaneers on Thursday on the road.
I think it's both. I think it was because of the Julio Jones injury, and I think you need to go pick him up this week if you're looking for a starter at wide receiver because, yeah, I know Thursday night games are usually not
Tampa
great
Bay's
for passing.
Tampa Bay's defense is terrible.
Tampa Bay's pass defense is terrible. It's very, very conceivable that two receivers, maybe even three, could have a good game against them. So I would definitely be looking to add Sanu if you've got 17 wide receivers on a bye this week like most of us do.
T.Y. Hilton played through a bad hamstring. Philip Dorsett got hurt late in yesterday's game. So all of a sudden, this healthy, amazing, dynamic trio of wide receivers for Andrew Luck, not looking so good. They're at Green Bay. We've got some good games. We've got Green Bay hosting the Colts. Could be fun. I don't know if it'll be good. And then the Sunday night game, Denver and Oakland. That should be awesome. Dwayne Washington was inactive for Detroit. Theoretically,
surprisingly.
What'd you say?
Surprisingly.
Yeah, and frustratingly. But Theo Riddick played 82% of the snaps. Do you agree with this? The two players, all right, actually three, I just thought of another. The three players who have the biggest difference in value in PPR versus standard are Theo Riddick, Jarvis Landry, and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you put Julian Edelman in that same category.
Okay.
He hasn't had a ton of value either so far.
Well, yeah, like last week he had 9 catches for 70 yards. That's a 16-point game in PPR. Yeah. That's a good week. And then he had another good week this week with a touchdown. Yeah, I think Edelman's like the poor man's Fitzgerald.
All right, Josh Gordon was released from a rehab facility. We'll keep an eye on that.
He's a free agent, right?
Did they cut him?
I thought they cut him.
I don't think so, because I think he's on the exempt list, isn't
okay.
he?
Okay, well,
come on back, Josh. I think he's still on the Browns.
But, pick up Josh McCown.
Oh, yeah. some crazy stats.
Yeah. No, he's still on their roster.
Tom Brady's 26-3 against the Bills. Jeez. amazing. The Seahawks have scored one offensive touchdown in their last 23 possessions, according to ESPN. They have the Bills on Monday night, and we'll talk more about that in a bit. And the Raiders, what a fun game that was, but the Raiders committed 23 accepted penalties. That's an NFL record. For 200 yards, the third most penalty yards in a game, they've got a penalty problem, people.
I would guess they had two or three penalties that weren't accepted either from watching that game.
Oh,
multiple. Yeah. They twice. I think two different times they broke the record, and then Tampa Bay didn't accept it. So they had to put the cork back in the champagne.
I don't know who was broadcasting that game, but he was so mad at the Raiders. He just kept, oh, you got to be kidding me. It was hilarious. He was like a fan. He wasn't a fan, but he sounded like a fan. It was so funny and a great game.
Odds that record gets broken again this year.
By the Raiders. Yeah.
Maybe not by the Raiders even. Like, there's more penalties in every game.
But the Raiders are the most penalized team.
Right. Yeah. I think it may get broken again.
Oy. All right. Do you need tickets to the game and do you want to save $20? Start using SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app right now and use our promo code FFT as in fantasy football today. That's $20 back after your first purchase. Use that for some hot dogs and some sodas when you get into the game and use SeatGeek when you want to buy tickets online. And our promo code is FFT. Now SeatGeek has made what used to be a really frustrating process extremely simple. Why go to multiple websites to look for tickets when SeatGeek will do all that work for you? SeatGeek price compares by searching multiple sites. That's how you know you're getting the best deal. It's a simple concept, and it works perfectly. This is the best way to search for tickets. All three of us on this podcast, we've all used SeatGeek to buy tickets. We all have the app on our phones, and we've all already gotten our rebate, our $20 back. So our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT. Let's do winners and losers from Fantasy Week 8. We talked about J.J. Nelson. Jonathan Stewart, Heath, you want to expand on this? He's a winner for you.
Yeah, I just think, like, if we think Jonathan Stewart is going to get 18 to 20 touches every single game, we know he doesn't do anything in the passing game. Without touchdowns, that made him a flex or a borderline number two running back. But if he's going to see more work in the red zone, and it's 2 weeks in a row after a pretty significant event, I think it's likely he's going to see more work in the red zone, then he becomes a top 15 back moving forward for as long as he stays healthy. The schedule's not terrible moving forward, and it's pretty good in the playoffs.
Okay, now let me amend my list of players who have the biggest difference in value in standard and PPR. Do you put Jonathan Stewart on that list? Going into the season, I absolutely wanted nothing to do with him in PPR.
Right, yes. No. He still produces.
Right.
He needs touchdowns, because otherwise you're getting like 8 points in PPR, which is terrible.
What's the average starting fantasy running back average, 4 to 5 catches per game?
No.
That sounds high, but
3 to 4?
Yeah, that's 60 to 70 catches a year.
Two to three. Okay. So it's not really that big a difference.
This is what I found doing some research a few weeks ago. I know I said this on the air. 8 fantasy points in a standard scoring league is about 24th at running back every week. So that's, if he doesn't score, he might get you 8 or 9 in PPR. And I don't know that that's cracking the top 24 in PPR. You know?
Well, he was 16 in standard and 23 in PPR last year.
Yeah.
So he was still a starting running back.
Big difference.
Sure.
Okay. Jonathan Stewart's a winner. J.J. Nelson's a winner. Terrell Pryor is a winner for Heath. And you know what, Heath? He's facing a team in Dallas that has not given up a 100-yard receiver yet. They're great against number ones, but no Claiborne, no Church.
Yeah, things will be a little bit easier than they have for most of the teams. And then maybe he won't stay healthy, but I think it's pretty amazing. Maybe one of the most surprising storylines of this entire year that Terrell Pryor has turned himself into a top 15, top 20 fantasy receiver with the worst quarterback situation in recent memory. And now he's got Josh McCown, which is the best quarterback he's played with all year.
What happens if Coleman comes back?
I think it possibly limits his targets a little bit, but
even then, he had like 8 or 9 targets in the first game, didn't he?
Right. It's also going to limit the attention that teams can give to him. So I think it's almost better for him. It frees him up. You know they're going to be playing from behind. He's going to get 8 to 10 targets plus every week.
No concern that he didn't do any. I think he didn't do anything after like the halfway point of the second quarter. I don't think he had a catch in the second half.
I wonder, they were playing from ahead. They were up 13 at halftime or something like that. Mm. I do wonder if that had something to do with it.
Right. As you always tell me, second half stats are not as predictive as full season stats. So
it's true.
Yeah. You know, I don't know where you had him ranked, Heath, but I feel like I kind of whiffed. I didn't bring this up on the podcast at all, but I should have talked about Josh McCown as a sleeper last week.
Yeah, we didn't really. I mean, he wasn't in the top 20.
Yeah. Jets are terrible, and McCown had over 20 fantasy points. Chris's winners. Oh, Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, 23 carries, 111 yards, 4 catches, 44 yards.
I think that was the best I've ever seen him run in the NFL. Like, if he runs like that every week, Heath and I are definitely going to get a lot of snarky mentions in our Twitter accounts.
I thought he was, I would agree, he was outstanding in that game.
Yeah, good for him.
You know, gotta keep up my character. The Broncos rushing defense isn't good anymore, so it's not even impressive.
It's not. I don't know that the Broncos run defense is a must sit anymore.
No, they're not. They're pretty mediocre.
Now,
they just gave up 111 yards to Melvin Gordon.
Okay. Let's not make everyone hate us. We talk about handcuffs, and I think you might want to start thinking about adding Kenneth Farrow if you're the Melvin Gordon owner. He's got such an immense workload.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, he played really, really well. If he can play like this every week, he's a must start even if the touchdown regression comes.
All right. Derek Carr scored 43 fantasy points. By the way, I think I am in first place in my FanDuel league. At Carr and Cooper.
That's pretty good.
But it's a 50-50, so I might as well be in 50th place.
He's played really well this season.
Yeah, what do you think about Carr? You know, this was obviously a good matchup. He has I don't think I'm starting him either the next 2 weeks, Denver and the bye.
Oh no, you're not starting him against the Broncos.
Yeah. That's rough. Yeah.
Maybe if Talib doesn't play.
Nope. Not me. You can. I'm not starting a quarterback against the Broncos.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. So yeah, you're probably not starting him again until Houston.
Yeah, but you know what? He's taking the next step. He's taking the leap. He's breaking out. This is legit stuff here. Good for Derek Carr. And this one's curious to me, Chris. Andy Dalton's a winner for you.
Yeah, Tyler Eifert's back. Ah. He's got you know, that's been the biggest thing is that Andy Dalton's played exceptionally well this season. Without much in the way of weapons. It's basically been Andy Green or AJ Green and the
Andy Bernard. Andy Bernard you were talking about.
Yes. And now he's got Tyler Eifert, who was a real weapon in the red zone last season. I think Andy Dalton's going to have a very nice end to the season.
I think something else that we really hadn't talked about too much, but for some reason Andy Dalton running seems to kind of be a thing. He had three games earlier this year with six carries. He scored a touchdown in two of his last three. And these are largely designed runs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing for me is he's been really good this season. 8.2 yards per attempt, 67% completion percentage, averaging almost 300 yards per game, but he's only got 9 touchdowns on 288 attempts. That was going to go up regardless now that Tyler Eifert's back and looked really good. I think we can expect his touchdown rate to improve dramatically in the second season. I think he could in the second half of the season. I think he's going to finish the season really well.
And let me say this about Eifert. The idea that Eifert is just a red zone guy, three catches, 40 yards and a touchdown or two, I don't think that's fair. I think that he can do a lot more and maybe he will.
Right. That's just what he was last year.
Right. Exactly. I don't think he's necessarily that guy. You know, last week we got that tweet, Hunter Henry or Eifert will be better than Hunter Henry rest of season. That was after last week. And I said, nah. And I just feel so stupid for saying that because, I mean, seems pretty clear you'd have to take Eifert over Henry right now.
I don't know what makes us think that Hunter Henry is a starting tight end if Antonio Gates is healthy.
He's one of your losers, Heath. So go ahead and talk about Hunter Henry.
Well, it's just another, I mean, Gates has been back for 4 weeks now. And Henry had two really good games at the start of that four-week period. But you look at his targets for the four games since Gates has returned. 4, 8, that's good. 3, 4. I don't know why. We have no reason to expect him to get more than 5 targets in a game with Antonio Gates back. Rivers still trust Gates.
Can I just – I'll play devil's advocate. I do agree, but the only thing that gives me a little pause. He got hurt last week, right? And then the targets kind of shifted after he got hurt. And then he was in the concussion protocol for most of this week or for some of this week. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the injuries have just held him back a little bit, Hunter Henry.
I think the week 7, I tried to say this last week, I think the week 7 he got hurt was a little bit overblown.
Yeah.
Because he played 47 snaps against Atlanta.
And that's right where he's been since Gates got back.
Right. I don't think he missed very many snaps with that concussion. It was like an end of the game thing.
Okay. He actually outsnapped Gates 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But did not outproduce him. Or at least did not out-target him. All right, so losers, we'll stick with Heath's. Hunter Henry is one. Ryan Matthews, I think we talked about this. Is he droppable? I don't know that Darren Sproles is really the every down back. Like they should go back to Ryan Matthews.
They totally should go back to Ryan Matthews. And I don't know in a standard league that the ranking is that much different, because we've still seen, and it's kind of funny, like they don't trust Ryan Matthews enough to give him the ball at any part of the field
except the goal line,
except for right close to the goal line. And we don't think he'll fumble there, but he's the goal line back. And so he's,
the thing was, you know, they went completely away from Ryan Matthews. They brought in Wendell Smallwood in the second half. He fumbled.
Yep. Right.
He lost his fumble, and they brought in Kenyon Barner. And it was, you know, Barner and Sproles mostly for the rest of the game. I don't think Matthews even got in there.
No, you're right. They tried. I guess they don't trust Matthews in the fourth quarter. He's had two fourth quarter fumbles. So they, we'll give Wendell Smallwood a try in the fourth quarter. One carry, one fumble, and that was it. And then Barner comes in. So I don't know. How do you feel about dropping Ryan Matthews, Heath?
I don't hate it. I'd probably feel better about it after next week, because I don't know that you're going to be in a position where, I mean, if there's somebody you want to pick up to start this week, that's fine.
Anton Smith, would you drop him? You need a guy this week.
I'd start Matthews over Smith.
Okay.
Even if Rodgers is out.
All right. Sure, Kendrick West, though, you would.
I would drop him for West.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Mark Ingram is a loser. We talked about him. Heath's losers are Matt Jones.
Chris.
Spoke about him. Chris's losers, sorry. The Packers running backs. And let's go to Russell Wilson, who has one game with more than 15 fantasy points this year. It was at the Jets. He obviously can't run. He does not have more than 16 rushing yards in a game. All right. Are we sounding the alarm on Russell Wilson?
I mean, you know, last season he had a stretch where he didn't throw many touchdowns. And Heath and I kept saying, you know, touchdown regression's coming, and it really came last year. The thing with touchdown regression is you're assuming that the player's playing at a high level and just isn't scoring for kind of random reasons. Like guys are getting tackled inside the five, they run the ball into the end zone for the rest of the drive, stuff like that. This season, I don't think that's really the case with Russell Wilson. He's not playing at that high of a level. He's certainly not playing at the high level we've come to expect, and I don't think it's just because of the touchdowns.
He's missing a lot of throws.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got a really good excuse. And Dominican Sue stepped on his ankle. Like, that's going to mess anyone up.
And it's killing Doug Baldwin, too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, that was pathetic. I mean, against the Saints?
if you can't put up, you know, did he even have double-digit fantasy points this week?
So, would you rather have Palmer or Wilson rest of the season?
Ugh. At least Wilson's young.
That doesn't have anything to do with it.
I'd have to look at the schedule. I think Palmer has a bye, so right. I'd probably rather have Wilson.
Palmer has a bye this upcoming week.
Yeah. Wilson, I'd rather have Wilson than Palmer for the rest of the season because he gets one more game.
Wilson's got a nice schedule. It's not amazing, but it's Buffalo this week at New England. Philadelphia, you know what? Those next three are not all matched.
Yeah, really
it gets better
nice
after that.
Towards the playoffs, and then week 16 is not great.
Yeah, week 16 is Arizona. So Carolina at Tampa Bay, the Rams, Arizona at San Francisco. If you play into week 17, you've got that matchup. But matchups obviously don't matter right now for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's someone that you're streaming the quarterback spot if you have him. You're probably picking up a backup, maybe Eli Manning because he was on a bye this week, and you're just playing the matchups with those two.
Chris, Nile Davis and Don Jackson, I might really regret all the investment I made in Nile Davis.
Yeah, someone dropped $105 in fab on him in one of our leagues, and that did not work out. We had no reason to think he's good. He's never been a good running back. But the Packers just clearly have no interest in playing those two. Like, if those guys couldn't get work when Eddie Lacy, James Starks, and Ty Montgomery are out, when are they ever going to get work?
Aaron Ripkowski led the team with 6 carries for 34 yards. And if this leads to Aaron Rodgers being among the leaders in pass attempts, I don't care how he plays. He's going to be good in fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
He has never been that guy. I've always said, if they would just let Aaron Rodgers throw like Andrew Luck, oh my gosh, the numbers he would put up. And I don't know that he'll throw that much, But we'll see. We'll see if he gets his full arsenal back and they just become a passing team. If everything goes right, this could be the best year of Aaron Rodgers' career. Well, at least the next eight games.
Yeah, I mean, he's still at 6.2 yards per attempt over the last four games. But if it's going to be 40 to 50 throws a game, he'll get 3 to 4 touchdowns by default.
Pretty impressive. He played amazing yesterday. Gosh, I don't know how much of that game you guys got to see, but it was tremendous. Both those quarterbacks were really on fleek. Did I use that right?
No,
let's just move on.
Okay. You want to do our horror movie fill in the blank now?
Yes.
Let me get your thoughts on these snap counts first. Jameson Crowder, 58% owned. He played twice as many snaps as DeSean Jackson.
Jackson left twice with injuries. I think he had a foot or a leg injury at first, and then he left with a concussion in like the third or fourth quarter.
But it wasn't a concussion.
It was not. It was a head contusion. He did miss a lot of that.
Okay. He got a bruised head, but he was not concussed.
I don't know how you get a bruised head with a helmet on, but okay.
That's my bad. But the point is, he's been better than DeSean Jackson Crowder, and you know, DeSean Jackson has been worse than Jameson Crowder is what I meant to say there. And I wonder if Crowder is going to put up those numbers that I thought DeSean Jackson was going to put up this year.
He's their best receiver.
Right? I'm really surprised that Crowder got this much work, because I believe with Jordan Reed healthy, he had never had more than three targets before yesterday.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting how this will play out. Michael Thomas played 80% of the snaps. Willie Snead, 74%. Brandon Cooks, 50%.
Michael Thomas is their number one.
Yeah, he's your favorite Saints receiver rest of season?
He's my favorite Saints receiver rest of season.
I view them all as 1A, 1B, 1C.
Which one's A?
I don't know. They're next to each other. There's no hierarchy. I think they're all number two wide receivers.
And Latavius Murray played only 36 of 94 snaps. He played just 8 more snaps than DeAndre Washington. Now, he completely outtouched, you know, Washington and Rashard, but he still did not fully commit to him. Last week, Murray played 58% of the snaps. This week, it wasn't close to that. What do you think? Disappointing day for Murray, but it was a tough matchup. I wasn't shocked.
I'm just disappointed in this. Like, they've seen what they have in DeAndre Washington and Jalen Rashard.
Right.
Give the ball to Latavius Murray 20 times a game.
I think part of the problem is that they've seen what they have in Latavius Murray, and it looks a lot like I don't think there's any separation in talent between these three guys.
Yeah, maybe maybe it's not that big, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. The greatest horror movie of all time is blank.
Easy. Alien.
Go ahead. What is it?
Alien.
Okay, Heath.
I'm probably a bad person to ask, but I will go with Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Both of those received one vote. Now, okay. I don't know. I probably got 60, 70 responses. I'm not sure. And no, I'd say more than that. I'd say I got 100 now looking at the list. And I separated it into those that got more than one vote, those that got one vote. So two different groups here. Alien and what did you say again? Texas Chainsaw Massacre? That's a great one, that original. Both got one vote. Now, you guys are crazy, because obviously, like, the top two vote getters here are the easy answers, and I think they're the right answers, and they're The Exorcist and Halloween. They were right around 10 votes each.
You know what the real answer is?
What?
Gone Girl.
You know what? Somebody said that to me yesterday. What was the line?
What's that?
What was the line about Gone Girl?
I didn't see it. I actually just, like, think that. As a married man, I think Gone Girl is, probably the scariest.
Yeah, I think my favorite one to watch is probably Night of the Living Dead, though. It's cheesy and campy.
Yeah, but, see, I just don't enjoy that.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, Halloween is my favorite, but The Exorcist is the best, in my opinion, best horror movie ever. The Exorcist was nominated for Best Picture.
Yes.
It's an incredible movie. I watched it a few months ago. And that's why I almost don't even include it, because it's almost too good to be a horror movie, like Silence of the Lambs, you know? But if we're going to include it, yeah, The Exorcist would be my pick for best. Halloween would be my pick for favorite. Others that got more than one vote. The Shining got 4 votes, and of course, Die Hard got 4 votes, because Die Hard's a Halloween movie.
True.
all right, this is interesting. A Nightmare on Elm Street got 3 votes. I had not seen the original Nightmare on Elm Street basically in so long that I didn't really remember anything about it. So we started watching it a couple of nights ago and unfortunately fell asleep, but it's awesome. Like, the first Friday the 13th is awful. Terrible movie, garbage movie. The whole series is awful. The first Nightmare on Elm Street is great so far, about halfway through. I plan on finishing it tonight. I'll report back.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is not a horror movie, but it is very good. Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream got 3 votes. And Paranormal Activity got 2 votes. And Blake Bortles got 2 votes for the worst horror movie of all time.
Fair.
Yeah. Receiving 1 vote, we had a bunch. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I guess now has 2. Army of Darkness, The Birds, The Thing.
See, Army of Darkness is not a horror movie.
Not That's a horror just, movie. Yeah.
Army of Darkness is a comedy.
Yeah, not a good choice.
It's a great movie.
The Thing, Evil. The Thing's good. Evil Dead.
Oh, The Thing, yeah.
Evil Dead 2.
Nobody voted for It?
The Thing is...
It's got a vote. It got a vote.
The Thing is definitely top 3 for me.
Really? I don't think it's...
Oh, yeah. That movie's terrifying. That movie's so good.
I think It might be number 2 for me.
Yeah.
All right. I can't think of my third. My first two would be Halloween and Exorcist in terms of my favorite. My third might be Sinister. See Sinister?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
It's damn good, and it did get a vote. It's with Ethan Hawke. It came out, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. It's really good.
Yeah, Alien, The Thing, and Night of the Living Dead.
What about Fatal Attraction? That's pretty scary.
we're seeing a theme here.
All right, Frailty got a vote. That's actually a pretty solid movie. Rosemary's Baby, I've never seen. The Babadook.
Carrie?
Carrie did not get a vote. The Descent. Descent's really good, actually. Good movie. Creature from the Black Lagoon, I've never seen. Poltergeist. That's a good one. Alan Robinson got a vote. Scream 2, not good. Psycho, not scary anymore. All right, here's one that's missing big time for me from my library here. 28 Days Later. Never seen
it? Can I throw Shaun of the Dead in there?
No, it's not scary.
Shocker. It's scary. Shocker.
What?
I think it's called Shocker.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's this
human centipede?
Really weird movie about a guy that like gets electrocuted.
Teeth?
But it doesn't kill him. And then he has this limp, but if he touches somebody, it passes his spirit onto someone else, and then they limp around. It's terrifying.
Well, we got Teammate Tuesday got a vote.
I can't tell if you're making this up. Oh, Bonanza.
Yeah, Bonanza's got a vote. Teammate Tuesday got a vote. Seattle, Arizona from last week got a vote, which I didn't appreciate. The Omen is pretty good. Blair Witch Project. Event Horizon scared the crap out of me.
Movies.
Which one, Heath? Chris?
Now you're just naming movies.
And this is what people voted for. I'm just saying. All right. Well, anyway, 2 p.m. Eastern today. Halloween is on AMC. I am 100% watching that movie. I cannot wait. Every Halloween, it's a must for me. Back to fantasy football. Martellus Bennett, he's been playing with the ankle injury, so he's got the bye. Hopefully he comes back healthy. We'll see what we get from him, but I have a feeling a lot of people are dropping Martellus Bennett this week. Jacob Tammy left with a shoulder injury in the opening possession of the game. Philadelphia lost left guard, I believe. I think he's a left guard. Alan Barber, hamstring injury in the first half. Carolina lost Ryan Khalil, their center, with a shoulder injury. That could be bad for them. Tyrann Mathieu has a shoulder injury. His replacement, Tharald Simon, left with an ankle injury. Let's hope they get healthy with their bye week. Indianapolis got a couple of bad injuries. Cornerback Vontae Davis left with a concussion, and right tackle Joe Wright's left with a concussion. Oakland cornerback Sean Smith has a shoulder injury. Vince Wilfork heads into the bye with a groin injury. San Diego linebacker Jatavis Brown hurt his knee. And who leads the NFL in sacks?
Lorenzo Alexander.
Yep, and he missed the second half.
He missed the second half with a hamstring injury.
He did. Thank you for reading the notes.
We're really on top of things. Heath and I know this stuff.
9 sacks this year. Now, did you know, I don't think he's ever had more than 2.5 sacks, and he's a veteran.
Plays at Seattle on Monday Night Football this week.
He does. It's true. Let's go to the games. Washington 27, Cincinnati 27. Okay, let's do it again like we do every week. Your thoughts on the Bengals running backs?
Start them both. Well, not this week because they're on a bye. But I don't know why they decided to go back to giving Jeremy Hill more carries. Bernard was more efficient again. It was nice to see Bernard get the touchdown. They both got a touchdown. They were both good starts this week. If they're going to split it 50-50, I think they can both be startable against good matchups.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that pretty much covers this game.
Yep.
Good stuff. Tyler Eifert,
well,
Jordan Reed.
Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins played really well.
He did. Yeah, he did play really well.
I wrote about Kirk Cousins in Believe It or Not this week, and I'm not fair to Kirk Cousins. I'm always lower on him than everybody else, so you guys need to tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay.
Because he's proven me wrong time and time again. He's been very consistent with no upside so far this year.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Showed the upside, 28 fantasy points,
well, he
great game.
56 pass attempts.
But
overtime.
He's got... He's on a bye this week, right?
Yeah.
He's on a bye and then Minnesota, yeah.
Then Minnesota, then Green Bay, then at Dallas, at Arizona.
You can probably drop in Kirk Cousins.
No. Well,
yeah.
I own him in one league. Look, you're not starting him this week or next week. But right. You're starting him after that.
You're going to start him at Dallas, at Arizona, at
sure.
Philly?
I think he's streaming.
I don't know about Arizona, but Green Bay and Dallas.
It's going to depend on what other matchups there are out there.
Here's the thing. You talked about Andy Dalton and his running. Kirk Cousins will get you some rushing touchdowns every now and then. He's actually fairly mobile.
I'm not saying that it's just my feeling on it. That's what I wrote today. If you think I'm totally wrong, then I've been wrong about Kirk Cousins for about a month now.
I think that's fair. No, I think he's a solid starting fantasy quarterback. But solid starting fantasy quarterbacks who have a bye and then Minnesota are probably droppable.
It's okay. Sure. It's dependent on your situation. Definitely. Cause the league I own Kirk Cousins in, he's my only quarterback. I can't really drop him. I'm going to have to pick somebody else up.
Right, right.
All right, let's see. Atlanta, Green Bay. Atlanta 32, Green Bay Atlanta 33, Green Bay 32. What do you think? Anything here? Talk Sanu.
Julio Jones has been extremely hit or miss this season. And, obviously he's amazing, but he's had four games with fewer than eight targets last season or this season. He only had two all of last season. So they're definitely spreading the ball around more.
Three games with fewer than 30 receiving yards.
Yep.
That's the first time since 2012 that he's had even one game with fewer than 30 receiving yards.
He's kind of become a little boomer busty. It's just when he booms bigger than anyone in the NFL.
Matt Ryan is playing so well.
Yes, he is. Yep. That throw to Sanu on that touchdown was perfect.
The throw to Gabriel on the first touchdown.
He's
outstanding.
Just, yeah.
His footwork seems really good too. I don't want to sound like a scout, but he's moving around really well.
Yeah. I have to see the all 22 before I can say that.
Well, the other thing is his second year in the system with Kyle Shanahan, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes it takes guys, Carson Palmer with Bruce Arians, takes guys a little while. Eli Manning with Ben McAdoo. Takes them a little while. It took him a little longer, I think, than people wanted, but he's thriving right now. Houston 20 and Detroit 13. Give me your take on Matthew Stafford, guys.
Disappointing game for sure. I don't know. I mean, did we overreact to Marvin Jones early in the season?
It seems like a little bit.
Like he's got a little bit of like a just pretty good receiving core. He's got like B weapons across the board.
So if you're dropping Kirk Cousins, you're definitely dropping Matthew Stafford.
At Minnesota and then a bye. Listen to his next 4 weeks. At Minnesota, bye, Jacksonville, Minnesota.
Oh, damn. But you got to want him after that.
You're only starting him once, but yeah, then he has at New Orleans, Chicago, New York.
I think
you might not get to the playoffs.
We probably get too universal with our drop quarterback hold quarterback advice. If you're in a league where everybody has two quarterbacks, then you hold on to Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
If you're in a league where, like most of ours, where about half the teams have one quarterback, then you can get him go.
I do want to say this. Houston had, I think they had been pretty good against quarterbacks until they got really hurt in the secondary, but Demps didn't play their safety. They had their top three cornerbacks playing in this game. So they got healthier, and I don't know that this was an easy matchup for him. It looked like it was. I don't think it ended up being a good matchup for Stafford in the passing game, but Eric Ebron with a good game, and when he got hurt, he was the second leading receiver on the team.
Right.
I think he had a chance to really break out in his second year at tight end. A minor breakout, let's say. A guy worth starting. Yeah. I know his matchups suck, but I was encouraged by Eric Ebron.
Is CJ Fedorowicz a top 12 tight end?
So far. This year.
No, but like consistent. Moving forward, he's averaging right around 50, 55 yards per game over the last five games. He's had a ton of targets.
I don't want to drop him going into their bye. I'd like to keep him if I can.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably dropping him though.
Yeah, he's that not top eight, could be top 12 touchdown dependent tight end.
Yeah,
I mean, without the
He's getting more consistent work than other guys in that range. He's getting more consistent work than like your Charles Clays or your Eric Ebrons, your Cameron Brates.
I would much rather have Ebron.
Andre Johnson's retiring today, guys.
Oh. Hall of Fame. That guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
He should walk off the field and right into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Okay, Jets and Browns. Let's do one or two hot takes from every game here to speed things up. Is it easy to say Matt Forte is one of the most obvious sell-high candidates and Brandon Marshall is one of the most obvious buy-low candidates?
Definitely one of those,
yes.
I would absolutely try to sell high on Matt Forte, best sell-high candidate since Melvin Gordon.
He is what we thought Melvin Gordon was.
I wouldn't just take anything from Matt Forte because at Miami is not a bad matchup.
The Rams the next week.
The Rams, then the bye, then the Patriots. That's a bad stretch. I looked at something earlier before this game and it held true again. He had three phenomenal games and four terrible games coming into this week. The four terrible games, they lost by double digits.
Oh, God. Just read it right off my notes, Heath.
So when he plays a team like the Dolphins that really should not blow them out, I like him. When he plays a team like the Rams, he's probably still okay.
Here's one. Ajayi or Forte next week in that matchup?
Ajayi.
Forte.
Interesting. Okay. New Orleans 25 and Seattle 20. Obviously, we have to pick up Tim Hightower regardless of what happens, right? You got to see where this goes.
Yeah.
I would probably put him, we'll know better by Tuesday afternoon, but I think I'd put him behind Charkandrick West.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, if Spencer Ware's already progressing by Tuesday night.
Yeah, but Mark Ingram's going to be healthy next week. For sure.
He may still have fumbleitis.
Now, I am not ruling out Thomas Rawls contributing for fantasy owners down the stretch. I don't think Kristen Michael has done enough to really seize this job.
No, there was a quote.
But there was a report this week that he's a couple of weeks away, right?
Yeah.
They are expecting not this week, but next week.
Okay.
And the quote was, I think, from their offensive coordinator or their offensive line coach. And it was just talking about how disappointed they were with the run. The Seahawks blog Field Goals had sent it out. I think the thing that helped us be successful in the past was we extended runs. We had beast mode. We had Thomas Rawls breaking tackles. So now we're doing a good job of getting what's there, but I think there are more yards to be had.
Yep. All right. Carolina 30, Arizona 20. Real quick here. Kelvin Benjamin, who would you rather have, Kelvin Benjamin or Brandon Marshall?
Brandon Marshall.
Whew. Yeah. I will probably take, I'm going to take Benjamin.
Benjamin or Larry Fitzgerald?
I'll take Benjamin.
Fitz.
So you're seems like you're a little low on Kelvin Benjamin, Chris.
I mean, I think he's a top 20 wide receiver for sure.
And I think all those guys are really like.
Yeah, they're all in the same.
None of them are top 10.
I think Marshall's the only one that has top 10 potential.
New England 41, Buffalo 25. Chris Hogan? Is this just a revenge game or a sign of things to come?
I think just a revenge game.
Okay, four targets.
I think he'll have a good game once every few weeks.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, because he's a big play guy, it's going to be totally unpredictable.
Oakland 30, Tampa Bay 24. Do you buy Michael Crabtree or do you think that this is the best value we're going to see from him all year?
No, I mean, I think he's a better version of what he was last year, mostly because Derek Carr is playing a lot better. But he's a solid star. He's not a top 10 wide receiver, which I think he is right now in fantasy in scoring.
This is a 1A, 1B situation.
I think Cooper's one.
I think Cooper's much, much better. But we've seen it several times this year when they play a situation where a team puts their lockdown corner on Cooper, Chargers are going to throw the ball to Crabtree.
And boy,
the target differential is not great at all between these two this year.
Cooper had a terrible drop in this game. Terrible in overtime. But final question. We'll end the show on this. Would you rather have Michael Crabtree or Demaryius Thomas?
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I'll say Demaryius Thomas, but that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it.
My goodness, guys, I did not even talk about Devontae Booker. Failure on my part. We will start tomorrow's show with a little Devontae Booker talk because he is the new Melvin Gordon. What, 2.5 yards per carry?
That was not a great matchup. The Chargers do what they do. They held him to a low yards per carry, but he gave up a touchdown. I mean, it's the same thing they've done all year. The nice thing is,
I don't know why you guys are criticizing him for this game. This is completely sustainable, and he played well.
Capri Bibbs doesn't look – he's not taking the job, so it doesn't matter.
Right, right. Okay, guys, that's it for today's show. Appreciate it, Heath and Chris. Have fun trick-or-treating, everybody. Happy Halloween. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on November 1st.